ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ सो टुडे दिस इवनिंग वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर टू चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड एंड टुडे वी विल बी डिस्कसिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर 58 सो काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी यदा संहरते चायम् कूर्मोऽङ्गानीव सर्वशः इन्द्रियाणीन्द्रियार्थेभ्यः तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता यत् ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट् बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् अभय चरणानन्द भक्ति वेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद Translation: One who is able to draw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Purport: The test of a yogi, devotee, or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is the tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up his senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the services of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within. Hare Krishna. So this verse which we are reading today, this is actually a part of a series of verses which begins with Arjuna asking a question. In the previous few lectures you must have heard, Arjuna asked a question to Krishna that, okay, if you are talking about this transcendental consciousness which a person will have, then how do you identify such a person? What are the symptoms that such a person will manifest? So, in this specific verse, Arjuna is asking some specific questions. He asks about what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is merged in transcendence. And more specifically, he asks, how does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk? So, this was in the 54th verse, and from the 55th up to the 58th verse, Krishna is answering these various questions which are posed by Arjuna. So, in this particular verse, Prabhupada here mentions in the purport that this particular verse is the answer to the question put forth by Arjuna about how is the yogi situated, you know. So Prabhupada, in his purport, right from the word go, he is giving us really so many good directions. So first and foremost, he says, is that, this is a very crucial line, The test of a yogi, devotee, or a self-realized soul is that he is able to control his senses according to his plan. The most important word here is this particular individual living entity, which is very rare we find, is according to his particular plan, he can control his senses. So, immediately Prabhupada quantifies that statement by saying that most people, however, are servants of their senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. So, we see a very classic example of this in our day-to-day life. I mean, it might be a question which might pose to us that how can this be, you know? No, I make my own choices. When I am traveling, I decide where I want to go, how I want to travel, or whatever I want to do. If I want to eat something, I make my choice. So how can it be that I am being the servant of my senses? So we can see very classic example. Most of you all visit so many shops, you know. If you go to many shops, like say a shop which is selling medicines, like we have one shop just outside the gate here. If you go there, you will see on the counter there is a small container, and in that container there are very nicely packaged chocolates. So if you know actually it's all psychology. I mean, I don't say that these people who market this stuff, they have studied Bhagavad Gita, but they have studied from a psychological point of view. And what happens is, if you go to these shopkeepers and you ask them, or if you somehow happen to be there when these particular agents of these chocolate companies come to the shops, they will insist to the shopkeeper that you keep these chocolates in a position which is very prominently visible. Not somewhere hidden, not in a shelf which is behind somewhere, not like that. You always notice it. I don't know how many of you all have noticed it, but if you see it, mostly all these chocolate companies, they will insist, or maybe you see the soft drinks, you know, those companies which manufacture soft drinks. What they will do, they will give the shops a big, huge refrigerator. You know? The companies give the shops refrigerator with their logos painted huge letters. You know, and they will tell the shopkeeper, you keep this refrigerator in such a way that the customer who is coming, they can see it very easily. And in the front side will be like, at home we use refrigerators, the front side is opaque, you cannot see what is inside. But these refrigerators are custom made, you know, and you have glass in the front side so that you can see what is inside. And all the different soft drink bottles are different colors, you know, something is red, something is dark, something is orange, something is green, different colors of bottles, so that it attracts your vision, this sense. So that is a sense object, and it is attracting your sense of vision. And these marketing experts, they have a very technical term for it also. I don't know how many of you have studied marketing, but those who have some background in that, they will understand this term. They call it impulse marketing, impulse buying. You just go there for buying something else. You go to buy some other stuff, and then suddenly you see, look at this soft drink refrigerator, which is filled with soft drinks, and you feel, oh, how hot it is. Maybe I should have some soft drink. Okay. So you have come to buy something else, but by the way, okay, let me get some soft drink also. It's called impulse marketing. So you can give any fancy terms or any fancy nomenclature to this. But bottom line is what Prabhupada says here, that most people, however, are servants of the senses. And the most funny part is they are not aware of it. That's the most funny part about it. People are servants of the senses, and it is being exploited to the hilt. But people are not aware of it. And the people, most people are servants of the senses, and thus they are directed by the dictation of the senses. I am sure, like you see nowadays, I mean, I don't know, but those who are little elderly in this audience, they might recall that there was a time in India, maybe 10 years, 15 years ago, there were not so many malls in India. Even in cities like Mumbai, you didn't have many malls. You had shops. You had big department stores where there were salesmen who would assist you in your shopping. You didn't have huge malls. Now, what is the difference between a mall and a huge department store? One of the very striking differences which I have observed is that in a mall, the layout is completely different from a departmental store. In a mall, the layout of everything is such that you can keep walking through the mall, and anything that strikes your eye and you feel, oh, I need this, okay, you just pick it off the rack. You just pick it off the rack straight and put it in your cart. You know, like you have that also in your on your online purchases. Add to cart. Those have done online purchases, add to cart. You just take from the mall mentality. So you just roam around the mall, all the aisles, so many things cluttered about. So you have gone with a specific purpose to buy something, but you are going through the aisles and suddenly you see, oh, this is nice. Yeah, I thought I see, maybe I should have it. And you put it in the cart. Keep walking. And you can just pick it off. But if you know about other stores, like some departmental stores or maybe some general stores, or our corner Kirana Wala, you cannot just pick anything from the shelf. If you want something, you tell the shopkeeper that I want this, and then he'll give whatever you want. You cannot pick it off the shelf. But in this particular instance in the malls, it is made all the more accessible, so that it is giving impetus to our impulses, or rather, they are giving impetus to our senses. You know, senses are getting attracted to the sense objects. Okay, now I want it, I lift it, I put it in my cart. And maybe after going home, you sit down and scratch your head. Why did I pick this up from the aisle? Why did I pick this up from the shelf? So this is a very classic example how this particular tendency of most living entities is being exploited. So if you see the general, nowadays almost everywhere you just have malls. So this Prabhupada says further, so a yogi or a self-realized soul, he controls the senses according to his plan, whereas most people are servants of the senses and are directed by the dictation of the senses. So that is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. Like I don't know where I heard this or I read this, but I remember very funny take on this. There was a man who had a very terrible headache. So he walked into a mall to buy some pills for his headache. So he goes into the mall and he's roaming around and he picks up a bottle of pills for his headache. And while he's roaming around, then in a mall you have everything. So just he goes along one side of the aisle and he sees one particular counter which is advertising about, it's a travel sort of travel brochures are kept around and, travel packages are being offered. And he just walks and he just picks up one of the travel brochures and he reads, "Are you stressed out? Is your head always aching?" So he feels, "My God, my head is aching. So maybe I am stressed out. So I should read this further." He keeps reading. And then it's a travel brochure about a trip to some place where there is nice fishing. So he said, "Oh, this is a good idea. Maybe I should take up fishing as a hobby so that I will not be stressed out." But he thinks, "I don't have a fishing rod and all those things." So he says, "Okay, let me go further in the mall." And then he goes into the sporting section. He gets a fishing rod. And then he feels,
Yeah, but I have fishing rod, but then when I go to the coast near the sea, I don't have any place. I don't want to stay in one of those expensive hotels. So maybe I should have a trailer. You know, they have a small home sort of thing. And like this, his things keep on expanding and everything is available under one roof in a mall. So this was the actual experience of a person. A person walks into the mall to buy a bottle of pills for his headache and ends up buying so many things, a fishing rod, so many other things for the fishing, and then a trailer, and then some other equipment, and so many things. And ultimately he comes out with a bill of something like $8,000 for a bottle of headache pills. So therefore, here Prabhupada mentions in the purport a very striking analogy. He says, the senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. So if you see any serpents which are just completely uncontrolled in the wild, maybe in some wildlife series on TV or something, when the serpents strike, generally the snakes, they don't have very good hearing, they don't have very good vision. Their sense of vision and hearing is not so good. So there is a particular circle or of some radius. Within that circle, if you are there, there is very good chance, because it will just strike, it just senses movement. The snake senses movement. More than vision and hearing, it senses any movements. So if you move a little, even within that striking radius, it will just strike out at you. So these senses, they are compared to venomous serpents, and they want to act very loosely and without restriction. But the yogi or the devotee, he must be very strong to control the serpents, like a snake charmer. So if you have seen snake charmers, many times you see in India, there are snake charmers, they play something, you know, they have that particular instrument, in Hindi they call bean. But if we technically analyze, the snake cannot hear so well. Snake's hearing power is not so good. But if you see the snake charmer playing the bean, if you observe him carefully, what he is doing is, while playing, he is moving that bean very rhythmically. He won't stand still and play like this. He will keep moving the bean. And what the snake is sensing and moving to, or as they say, nag nach raha hai, that dancing, is basically it's moving to the motion of that particular instrument that the snake charmer is making. So, and as soon as the snake's attention, if you have observed, snake's attention wanders off to one side, he will again tap it from other side, so that it comes back in the range. He will not allow them to go away, wander away. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai, Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai, Shri Shinitai Gaur Chandra Ki Jai. So the snake charmer never allows them to act independently. Even though there may be so many opportunities, so the devotee similarly, there may be so many things which may be coming at the devotee. There may be some senses, some sense objects which are very alluring. But not only sense objects, but so many other things. Like Prabhupada mentions in his previous purport also, in purport to verse 56, a very interesting statement. So many things. A fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of threefold miseries. Like there will be so many things coming at a devotee or a yogi. There may be so many alluring objects. Not only alluring, but there may be so many miseries also. You know, so many things which can disturb a person. Threefold miseries. What are threefold miseries? Miseries caused by one's own body and mind. Miseries caused by other living entities. And miseries caused by supernatural powers. Like suddenly there is heavy rainfall. All trains stop in Mumbai. So, now you cannot move from one place to another as freely as you would like to move. So, that is misery which is caused by supernatural powers. So, what is misery is caused by other living entities? Very simple, in Mumbai, you generally have almost always throughout the year cases of malaria, dengue, all these things. So, a small mosquito bites you, other living entity is giving you trouble, and immediately you are afflicted with malaria. Or another example you can see for miseries caused by your own body and mind, you know. Like, you like to eat some particular sweet item, so you eat. But sometimes in that particular enjoyment, your tongue, it likes it so much. So you keep on eating, and after some time, your stomach or your digestive system rebels. And then for 2 days, you are down with dysentery or loose motions. So your own body and mind are causing you miseries. But a person who is fully Krishna conscious is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries. Even if he has miseries, he is not disturbed. Why? Because he accepts all these miseries as the mercy of the Lord. So that's a very high, tall order. That's a very tall order. He accepts all these miseries as the mercy of the Lord. And not only that, he goes one step further, Prabhupada says, he thinks himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds, and sees that these miseries, whatever he is experiencing, by the grace of the Lord, they are minimized to the lowest. Whatever his experience is actually minimum. He has to experience more, but because there is Lord's grace on him, therefore he is experiencing less. So because of this, a Krishna conscious person easily tolerates the onslaughts of threefold miseries. So we can see, yeah, in the, like, I just gave you example of tongue. In the Niti Shastras, Adi Shankaracharya, he has written something called Viveka Chudamani. I mean, this example is very clearly, in that it's very nicely explained about how there are five animals. A deer, an elephant, a moth, a fish, and a bumblebee, Bhrunga. So all these five animals, they have some specific senses which are very sharp. So a deer has very sharp hearing. Its ears are very sharp. So how does a hunter trap a deer? When a hunter wants to trap a deer, he plays a flute, a very melodious tune on the flute. And when he plays this tune, the deer is so much attracted to the sound of the flute that it just stops doing anything else and just hears the sound of this flute. And when it is hearing, it's so much wrapped in attention towards that sound, the deer cannot hear the hunter approaching it. And slowly the hunter approaches the deer and then captures it. Normally in other situations, the deer, they have such good hearing that they can easily hear the footfalls and they will run away that there is some intruder coming. But in this case, because of being attracted to this particular one sense and the sense object which is available to it, the deer gets trapped. Similarly, the case of elephant. Again, elephants, if you all know how they are captured. For an elephant, what they do is, they have a trained female elephant, and this trained female elephant goes to a wild tusker, a male elephant, very huge, very powerful, and goes near that male elephant and just rubs herself against the body. So this elephant, by the sense of touch, is very much agitated. His sense is very, very much agitated, and he is attracted towards this female. You know, so it's not just human beings who use this strategy. You know, like you see any product on this planet, it may not have any connection. Like one time, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was giving class near NSCI, and there was one big billboard on which they were advertising a credit card, you know, and that credit card was held by one lady. So he was saying that actually that lady is not part of the package. What you will be buying is that particular credit card. But then when you see that lady, so many other things come into your mind. Yes, if I buy this credit card, it will be so nice. My wife will also be happy. You know, or maybe I will be able to attract some beautiful lady like this particular. So like that, these animal, on the animal kingdom also they are using this particular psychology. So this female elephant goes and rubs against the male elephant, and the male elephant is so agitated, he just keeps running after this female, and this female elephant is trained. So it takes this male elephant along a predetermined path, and there is a huge pit on that path which is covered by grasses and twigs. The female elephant, being trained, nicely avoids that particular trap, but the male elephant doesn't understand that there is a trap and just walks straight into it. So this particular sense of touch, one sense of touch which has been, one sense of the elephant which is agitated, you know, that particular sense draws it to its doom. Third example which we get in Niti Shastra is of the moth. There are so many film songs also, Hindi film songs, about the patanga which gets attracted to the flame because it sees this flame dancing around, nice shiny object. The sense of eye, you know, vision is attracted to it and keeps going towards it. And finally what's happened? You just hear a crisp noise. And that's the end of the moth. And the fish, how does the, just now I was telling you about the fishing rod. So at the end of the fishing rod you have a hook on which there is a bait. Now there is a worm which is dancing as a bait. The fish, attracted by that worm, the sense of taste, you know, attracted, it doesn't stop to think what is behind this bait and just goes and tries to gobble it, and that's the end. And similarly, the bumblebee is so much attracted to the fragrance of the lotus flower, it goes and tries to take in the nectar from the lotus flower, not realizing, it is so much immersed in it, not realizing the sense of smell, that as the sun is setting, the lotus flower closes itself and the bumblebee is trapped within and meets its end. So, in this particular verse, Adi Shankaracharya, he has composed this. He says that each of these animals or creatures, they are attracted to just one particular sense object which is related to one of their senses, and still they meet their doom. So what of the human being, you know, who is attracted to sense objects which are related to all five of the senses? What is the status of the human being who is attracted to sense objects related to all five of the senses? What will be his condition? So therefore, Prabhupada says, the yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpent-like senses, like a snake charmer, who never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. And the primary one is, Smartavyam Satam Vishnu Vismartavyam Najatu Chit. So this is one of the primary injunctions which says Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu. So you have to always remember Krishna. Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu Vismartavyam Na Jatu Chit. And never forget Krishna. So do is always remember Krishna, and do not is never forget Krishna. So Prabhupada says here, there are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do nots and some of them are do's. So this is the one of the primary injunction which says that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And sarva vidhi nishet dasyo. All other vidhi and nishet, do's and don'ts, are etayor eva kinkara. They are subservient to this one rule. So unless one is able to follow the do's and do nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is the tortoise. So now we come to the analogy which is given in the particular verse, where in the verse Krishna says that the tortoise can at any moment wind up his senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. So this is a very classic example we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Madhavendra Puri, he is traveling in Vrindavan, near Govardhan he is traveling, and he is very, very hungry. He is feeling very hungry. And he is sitting under a tree when a cowherd boy approaches him. And the cowherd boy asks him, "If you are so hungry, why don't you beg for something? Why don't you beg for something if you are hungry? But I know you are hungry, so therefore I have brought you some milk." And he gives him, Madhavendra Puri, the milk so that he can satisfy his hunger. So we see that Madhavendra Puri, being so much hungry, but still he doesn't go to the extent of asking for something. But because Krishna knows the heart of his devotee, he himself comes as a cowherd boy to give some milk to his devotee. On the other hand, we see Madhavendra Puri, again, when he is in Remuna, he hears about the special sweet rice which is offered to Gopinath. And he has this desire that this special type of sweet rice which is offered to Gopinath, maybe I should be able to make such sweet rice and offer to my Gopal deity. So he has a desire to taste that particular sweet rice so that he will understand what is the taste and he can prepare that for his deity. But then we see that again Krishna, in this case, when he wants to taste, Krishna again reciprocates. Gopinath reciprocates with the desire of his devotee, and Gopinath steals sweet rice for his devotee. So in both cases we see, just like Prabhupada is saying here, the senses of a Krishna conscious person are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord. So when Madhavendra Puri he was hungry, he did not beg for any milk or any other thing which would satisfy his hunger. But when he wanted to taste, again it is the same thing, that he wanted to taste sweet rice offered to Gopinath so that he can understand and prepare the same sweet rice for Gopal. So that time Gopinath himself reciprocates and steals the pot of sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. So we should understand that this the senses of a Krishna conscious person are used only for particular purpose in the service of the Lord. We see even in the case of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada visited Australia for the first time, devotees had hired a Rolls Royce for Srila Prabhupada, and the front page headline on one of the newspapers in Australia was, "His Divine Grace comes rolling in." So when he was asked that why you travel in Rolls Royce, or why do you have such, your movement, it is talking about simple living, high thinking. So Prabhupada responded that for me, I can stay even under a tree and I can speak the same philosophy. But if I sit under a tree and I speak this philosophy, will you come and, interview me? You will not come to ask me these questions. You will not come. Who will come to hear me under a tree? So therefore, you see, again, for some particular purpose, Srila Prabhupada, and another time we have another example where devotees in one city Prabhupada was visiting, they thought that their temple and their ashram was a little too austere. So they had made some reservations in a 5-star hotel for Srila Prabhupada to stay. So after the class and everything got over, the darshans and everything was over, they told Srila Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, we have made arrangements for you at this particular place, so now we will go there so that you can take rest for the night." Prabhupada asked, "Why you have to make arrangements for me there? I will stay with the devotees. I will stay here only with the devotees." So we have both these things. For a particular purpose in the service of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was willing to accept a Rolls Royce car, gold watch, so many other things. But if it was nothing to do with service of Krishna, then he did not want even to stay for himself, to stay in a 5-star even though, you know, it was like he is a representative of Krishna, he deserved much more, but still, for his own accord, he said, I stay with the devotees. Another time, similarly, some reporters asked him about his Rolls Royce again, because that was very visible to these people and they were very irritated. So he said, actually, what is this Rolls Royce car? What is this Rolls Royce? It's just a collection of some iron, some tin, some rubber, some leather, all these things. For a representative of the Lord, actually, the Lord travels in a chariot, is of gold and diamonds and so many other precious jewels. So, this is nothing what is being given. So, we see that a devotee of the Lord, they use their senses only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord, and otherwise they are withdrawn. So, if you go to many temples in India, ancient temples also, you have this tortoise near the door. You see, there will be a tortoise in the floor near the door. So, what does that signify? That signifies that now here you are, you know, now this zone where you have entered is a safe zone. Now you can allow your senses to come out. Allow your sense of vision to come out and take the darshan of the Lord. Allow your sense of smell to smell the flowers which are offered to the Lord, the tulsi leaves which are offered to the Lord. Allow your sense of taste to taste the Mahaprasad of the Lord. Allow the sense of hearing to hear the holy name of the Lord. Like that. So, the tortoise which we see mostly in ancient temples, it signifies that this is a safe zone. So, not only that we should withdraw our senses from the sense objects, the material sense objects which are all over the place trying to attract our senses, but the positive part of it is that just as a tortoise, which, you know, when it senses some danger, it withdraws all its limbs within the shell, so that, you know, the danger, whatever animal is coming to hunt it, it just gets the shell, it cannot penetrate the shell so easily. So similarly, whenever we are more likely to be influenced by material influences, so at that time, we just withdraw our senses, and later on, when there is an opportunity to engage the senses in positive spiritual vibrations, so we engage more in those, we completely let out our senses. Like one time I remember Dwarkadish Prabhu was saying in one of his classes, he said, Ekadashi, we do fasting. But that fasting is not just, we are not eating or something like that. But there has to be corresponding spiritual feasting. Otherwise, you will not be able to do the Ekadashi fasting in the proper frame of mind. You will be fasting physically, but then you will always be thinking about, oh, I am feeling so hungry. Now, what is the next item? What will happen? Because there is no corresponding counterbalance of spiritual feasting. So, spiritual feasting means, try to take more darshan of the Lord. Engage your sense of vision in taking darshan of the Lord. Engage sense of smell in smelling the flowers offered to the Lord. Engage the sense of taste, sense of speaking in eating the Mahaprasad of the Lord, eating or chanting the holy names of the Lord more on Ekadashi, hearing more. So, Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. Like in the previous verses, if you see, Arjuna has given so many excuses why he cannot fight this war. You know, and one of the excuses which he gives is that there will be no enjoyment, especially if all my relatives are killed, all my, you know, friends and teachers and relatives and all others, all those people whom I felt were close to me, if they are all killed, then who will I enjoy with? You know, this we can readily understand, that if you are happy but you don't have anybody with whom you share your happiness, then your happiness seems very hollow. So Arjuna, in that frame of mind, is saying that one of the reasons that he gives is that there won't be any enjoyment in this particular war. After even if I win this war, I won't have any enjoyment. So here Arjuna is being taught to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within. So, like the tortoise, we should also always, like in those temples that we see, we should always try to exercise our senses when we see that this is a safe zone. And in situations which are otherwise, we should try and restrict our senses in such a way that we don't get carried away. Of course, it is difficult in a city like Mumbai with so many distractions all over the place. But if we stay in the association of devotees and regularly chant the holy names, and more importantly, engage in a positive sense, the senses in tasting or like in the spiritual aspect of tasting Mahaprasad, chanting the holy names, in that sense, then the other part will be more easier to keep the senses controlled. So that's all for today. If you have any questions or queries, please ask.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful class. This Kuruma example of senses withdrawing, and means I was just thinking, like, is it individual struggle or like you can just throw a light? Is it good if I feel that, you know, that particular situation will disturb me? So whether I should, you know, like, I should not even go there. Then to go and then again try to restrain my senses, is it not good that I should not even, you know, bother to go that, like in that danger zone?
I mean, that will be like, if you are forewarned, you can take action that way. If you have advanced understanding or advanced knowledge of certain situation, that this may be happening. That is why, technically, I mean, you see, in Vedic culture, we see in the Bhagavatam also, that when the marriage of Kardamuni is going to take place, at that time, if you read, all the other demigods, Brahma and so many other people, they attend. But you have others, renunciants, like Narad Muni and others, they leave the place, even though they are directly related. Understand? They are brothers, sons of Brahma. So, very intelligently, they don't attend. So, if you understand, if you have forewarning, if you have advanced understanding of the situation that what you are going to face, then that is always wise. But if that is not there, if you land up in a situation where you don't have any advanced warning, then just you have to remember this particular analogy and try to do your best. Any other question? Gokulan, throw at the back.
Hare Krishna. So we see at the doorstep of the temple, at the entrance, usually there are bells. So is there any connection? The bells. Is there any connection of the bell with the senses?
Bells.
What is the significance of having
bells
in the temple?
In the senses. Actually, this particular example of tortoise at the door is something which Shyamananda Prabhu mentioned during one of his classes. It's not my original. Bell, as far as bell is concerned, actually one time Srila Prabhupada was asked by many people that we go to, especially Indian people who went to meet him, we go to so many temples in India, every temple has a bell. Why does your temple, you go to ISKCON temple, generally you don't see any bells. Except maybe some temples they have a bell, you know, near the entrance, is a chowkidar rings at every hour. You know, apart from that, there is no bell for the public to ring. So when Prabhupada was asked that question, he said that most of the bells which we have, the tongue which is there in our mouth, that is like the knocker in the bell. And what we expect is whenever devotees come, instead of clanging this bell, they should move this knocker inside the bell of their mouth and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, he said that is how we expect devotees and also those who visit our temples to chant the bell, ring the bell. Of course, apart from that, I can understand from the Shastric point of view, which like the tortoise which you are asking, I am not aware. There may be some significance. I am not aware. We can find out.
Does anyone know what is the traditional significance of the bell? Just like usually the turtle is found as soon as they enter the temple, in few of the temples.
One significance is we find in Krishna's pastime also about the bell is generally used as an instrument to, while offering, you have to ring the bell. While offering something to the Lord, you have to ring the bell. You know, we have this pastime of the Lord about the, just before the Damodar Lila, when the Lord is stealing the butter, at that time, when he starts, just he's about to eat, he starts to eat the butter, all the bells start ringing. So, he's asked, Krishna asked the bells, why you started ringing? Now Yashoda Mai will come and catch me. So they said, you are eating something, and it's obvious if something is being offered to you, at that time bell has to ring. So therefore we started ringing. Something like that. So, that is one thing which comes to mind, that for offering something to the Lord. So maybe, I mean, beyond this, I would say, hey, if I go there, it will be speculation. Maybe our Nanda Dulal Prabhu has something to add.
I don't remember who had told me this, but I had asked one devotee once. There are so many musical instruments like mridang, kartal, you know. But when we offer something and when we are worshipping the Lord, we offer different articles. We offer incense, we offer a lamb, we offer a chamar, vajan, like that. One thing that is common to the whole aarti is the bell. So I'd asked that, why particularly this bell? So somebody had told me, and I mean, at the risk of being corrected by any of the people present here, he had told me that the sound of the bell is very auspicious. And particularly so, he told me that it includes all the swaras. All the different swars, sa re ga ma. Now, don't ask me how it is, I'm not a musician, but there's some reference somewhere that in the sound of the bell, ting, 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 that you do, there are all the swaras, like that. And then, that time I was just thinking that, you know, mridang when you play, there's a certain frequencies that come out. Any other instrument if you check out, certain frequencies that come out, and that are fixed. But if you have a good bell, it's very attractive, actually, if you see, you know, ting, 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 like that. So, that's why, and Krishna also likes that sound very much. So, one thing that remains constant or common to the whole aarti, along with the other articles, is the bell. So, this is what I know with my limited knowledge.
So, is there no more questions? We would like to stop here. Thank you very much for a patient hearing. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.